The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. Evangelii dicta deleante nostra lecta. Jesus asked that question, what did you go out to the desert to see? What were you looking for? Why were you there? What were you expecting? We heard last week with the episode of John the Baptist, you know, telling off the scribes and the Pharisees for their disingenuousness. To kind of to keep that context in mind, right? Why did you go out to listen to him? Why were you there? Did you go to see a prophet? Did you go to hear the word of God? Or, I mean, even if you went out to go see a prophet, did you go out to see a prophet because prophets are neat? Or did you go out to see a prophet because it would be an interesting experience and your ears would burn and there's a little bit of, and you want to feel that shiver down your spine? Did you want to hear pretty words? Did you want to hear John the Baptist is this forceful preacher? Is this sort of some sort of religious entertainment? Did you go with even some maybe a religious ulterior motive, right? Did you come saying, well, he said we're being baptized to repent of our sins, and you know, I perhaps listening to the preachings of John the Baptist, you know, maybe this will help me get more on track in terms of, you know, having the virtues, the human virtues I want to have, to get certain sins out of my life, which is not, you know, not a corrupt motive, but it's not perfect. It's not a perfect motive. Well, the world's going to pot, and John seems to be proclaiming this hope. Right, we're being oppressed by the Romans, and John's proclaiming the kingdom of God, and wouldn't that be nice if the kingdom of God was reigning? Because, you know, perhaps they were conflating it with the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, right? So, go out to see John the Baptist because we'll hear about how one day these nasty Romans will be gone. So, is there some sort of political subtext to what you were going out to hear or see? Or perhaps he's proclaiming this greater fidelity to the law of Moses. And, you know, the law of Moses, it's good for society, it's good for the kids. It's a good way to impose, it's a good way to propose, you know, good solid values to the kiddos. So Jesus asked them, why did you go out? You went out to see a prophet, and more than a prophet. He's the forerunner. He's the one who's preparing the way for me. Right? John is bringing the covenant with Moses to its toward its completion, not to its completion. Jesus does that, but towards its completion. To its fulfillment. He's there to prepare the world and to prepare hearts for this revolution of relationship. John the Baptist saying, you know, be baptized, repent of your sins, turn your lives around, live in a moral way, be faithful to what you've been taught, be faithful to the covenant God has made with you, because the kingdom of God is coming and is now here. And Jesus comes to bring this radically different way of relating between humanity and God. Jesus' advent, Jesus comes. He says, okay, now that you've been prepared by John the Baptist, here's the fullness of truth that I am. Right? Jesus Christ is the Word of God incarnate. And it's this, about this relating. Yes, it's about behaving yourself, sure. Yes, it's about moral strictures. Yes. Yes, it's good for your children. Yes, it brings you in community with like-minded people. Yes, it hopefully has joy in the truth and beauty and goodness are attractive, right? So it's something pleasant in hearing it proclaimed. But that's not why you're here. Or at least it's not why you should be here. You're here for an encounter with the living God. You are here for Jesus Christ himself. So the question that Jesus asks the people of Israel, he can equally ask us, perhaps, with regard to our practice of the faith. What are you here to see? Why are you here? What do you want? And you can go down all the good and bad motives. Right? You talk about, well, it's a, you know, cultural habit, or it's again, or it's good for the kids, or it helps me organize my life, or it just feels good to know that God's out there and he loves me. A sense of belonging, just all the different motivations, same thing as the Israelites were looking for in John. And perhaps what a lot of people were wanting in Jesus too. I mean, you know, Herod loved to listen to John the Baptist. Herod was not a good person, but he kept John alive in prison until he was forced to kill him because he was fascinated. He was challenged, but fascinated, but in this sort of distant way. Right? Isn't this intriguing? But Herod didn't really change. He wasn't really convicted. He didn't really change his life based on what he heard. So too, you know, Herod wanted to see a miracle. Herod had heard about Jesus and had wanted to see him, but he had the wrong sort of motives. You know, other people came to Jesus expecting him to be the one to, you know, raise an army and kick out the Romans. That was the wrong motivation. And there's the scribes and the Pharisees who perhaps wanted this, you know, until they made enemies with him. They wanted this. They wanted to have this. Perhaps they were looking for an ally, or they were looking for something, or maybe they were reacting against Jesus. They were there to proclaim or to set the people right. I went out to see Jesus. I went out to see John to make sure the people understand this properly. That this guy, he might be an attractive preacher, but don't listen to him. Who knows? But the right motivation for the people who got to John, the right motivation for people who followed Jesus, and the rightful motivation for us to come here is that encounter with the living God, is to come and worship him in spirit and truth, is to come and offer this holy and unique and everlasting sacrifice that makes peace between humanity and God. All the other things might be important, but they are ultimately secondary. Now, it's all bound up in one thing. You can't say, well, I'm here to encounter Jesus, but, you know, I have my own views on morality. Right? Okay, that doesn't work, obviously. You can't say, well, you know, seeing people like this, people who want to, they want to talk about Jesus, but then they'll celebrate, you'll see out in the world, they'll celebrate awful things happening in the world because perhaps they're coming here for the wrong reasons, their motivation. The Jesus they want to see, the thing they want to hear, where they want that reed swayed by the wind. They want that thrill down the back of the prophet. They want the fellowship with other people. They want all these different things, but they want to decide for themselves what to make of it. Or they want to define for themselves what this kingdom of God is going to be about. So, in this process and in this time of, you know, renewing our liturgical year, and especially as I've been talking about the last several weeks, this challenge to take our faith seriously, renew our faith and take it more seriously than we ever have, to examine our lives and say, how is the way I'm living? How are the values I'm holding? How is the way I'm thinking about the world? How is my worldview? Not just the content, but the way in which I come to the conclusions I come to about the world. Is that in conformity with Christ, or is it not? And if it's not in conformity with Christ, I need conversion. I need to take this seriously. This Cardinal Sarah wrote a book, right, called God or Nothing. Those are your choices. God as he is, who he is, and everything that goes with that, or nothing. There's no middle ground there. Ignatius Loyola has similarly. Ignatius Loyola has the parable of the standards. He says, you know, there's, you can think of the army of the enemy and the army of God. Or, you know, he was a knight before he was you know, a priest. You know, their battle lines are drawn. There's no middle ground. Which banner are you under? You can't not be involved. And you can't stay in the middle ground. And if you're in, you're all in. There's no, well, I want to be on God's side in my own way. That is not an option. You need to go out to God when you come here. What do you come out to see? You come to encounter God as he is. You come to worship in spirit and in truth. And to the degree that we don't do that presently, to the degree, and we all don't do it perfectly, right? It's always a process of conversion, but the point is the standard is objective. What we need, like, what did you come to see? Well, there's different perspectives of what I came here to see. No. There might be different perspectives, sure, but there's one right answer. To encounter the living God in spirit and in truth, and to offer him due worship and sacrifice. Everything else is tributary to that. Everything else is, even though it is what it is, and it's not up for debate, or it's not up for change, or modification. But all the other things, all the other benefits, all the other motivations, those, to the degree they are good at all, they're secondary to that encounter, that revolution of relationship with Jesus Christ.